I want to tonight look at engaging God around the Ark of His presence and how to engage into the realms of heaven. Whereas, you know, everything you're doing from the relationship pathway is to look at moving things from heaven through you to come around you. But when it comes to government, you have to go into the different realms of heaven to govern. So you have relationship pathway from inside out, but the government goes outside in. So you don't want to be out hanging around the outer courts. You want to be in the most intimate place you can get. So Romans 12:1, you know, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, which is always a big mouthful. But in reality, you know, spiritual service of worship really is the same word. And it really means the serving the purpose of God. And our worship is where we come into alignment and agree to serve the purpose of God by saying yes. It's not really complicated. But to do that, we have to be not conformed to this world. And confirmation in one of the other versions says, do not be pressed into the world's mold. Because we're shaped often by how the world has formed us rather than how God has formed us. So we want to be transformed. So transfigured, metamorphosed is the Greek meaning of that, by the renewing of your mind. Now, many years ago, you know, I would have thought renewing your mind would be taking a scripture and confessing it until you believed it, and then you thought differently. And yeah, God honors that because it's a base level of what renewing your mind is. But once you understand that we're not supposed to be conformed to the world, but we are supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ, and therefore the image that He has of us, then that is what you need so that you can actually become aligned with that image and become like it. So when we're renewed, we have to see what it is that we're created to be, to become like that. And so the image is what enables us to be created into it. So eventually you may prove what is the will of God. So what is God's destiny for me? So this will help me to find my destiny, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, of course it is, because it's me. You know, it's totally acceptable and perfect once I actually realize who I am. And my identity will come from looking at what He says of me, looking at what He shows me in terms of my image, and then I can be conformed to that, because I was always designed to be that. He created me in eternity to be that, so I now need to reconnect. So there's a process there, and the key is I have to present myself. So I present myself based on the fact that God is merciful, loves me, accepts me, affirms me, and everything else. I can present myself. So I'm presenting myself as a living and holy sacrifice. Whereas obviously, of course, sacrifices weren't very living. They were pretty much dead. You know? So there's a process here where actually I'm living, but I'm holy. And that is a sacrifice that brings me into who I am and my identity. So, you know, what they did with a sacrificial lamb was to prepare it. Now, again, the lamb didn't prepare itself. It just was offered. And then the priest did the preparing for the lamb. So to engage going into government, the authority that we have is proportional to the holiness that we're living in. Because God will not give us authority beyond what we can manage according to holiness. He gives gifts without revoke. And so people can use gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of who they are and be completely in sin. You know, and often they use the fact that God is still moving through them to validate that their lifestyle is okay. And it isn't. You know? But gifts are gifts. This isn't talking about a gift. It's talking about who we are. And God prepares us when we surrender. So a sacrificial lamb, according to Exodus 29:16, and presenting myself as a living sacrifice prepares me for that destiny and for that rulership in government. Whereas in relationship of intimacy with God, it's like He accepts me as I am and I have intimacy with Him and He loves me, and that gives me the place then that I'm very willing to surrender Because there's no guilt, shame, and condemnation about the process of being transformed. Because if you learn to say, yeah, repent, no problem. It's like, because it's the kindness of God that leads me to repentance, not fear. Yes. You know, so I'm not fearful of him. So I'm not fearful of admitting anything. You know, when I've gone through the gateways of my life, when I went through trading floors, I had to admit everything. You know, I didn't like myself from a perspective of, oh my word, this stuff's in me. These are the motives of my heart. But actually completely known I was loved and accepted because God was training me because he loves me. And he wouldn't want to leave me the same. You know, I think someone once said, you know, God loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. You know, so there's a process he wants to bring us into what he envisaged we would be rather than what the world has shaped us to be and what our genetic background and hereditary has brought us into. So what they did was, you shall kill the ram. So that's the first part. Ram didn't have to kill itself. You shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and legs, and put them with its pieces and its head. So there was a lot of chopping that went on. Dismembering of various bits and pieces. And when I first started to teach some of this, people were like, oh, this is horrible. You know, they just kept having this horrible image of this dismembered poor lamb. You know, so, well, yeah, this is symbolic of what God does, not actual. So you don't have to be too concerned that you're going to get bits chopped off. But the representation of it actually is important. So they did slit its throat and they drained all the blood. So it really was dead. So when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, what dies is the old, not the new. So they chopped off its head, you know, which is very much symbolic of who's in charge. You know, skinned it. So all the layers of things that we put around ourselves all have to come off. Split it open right down to its backbone. And then he had a special knife that even opened up the backbone to reveal the marrow. Because everything had to be brought into the light and exposed. And then they washed its inner organs, so everything got washed in the inside, cut off its legs, which obviously is symbolic of our walk. So my walk is surrendered because my legs are not my own. You know, so all of it is about surrender. So everything is about surrender and preparation to actually bring the government of God, because it's all about us coming into our position of sonship. Now, it sounds all a bit gory, and I spent a long time in my own life walking this through. So by faith, we can enter the holy place, the tabernacle, in surrender. That's what we read this afternoon. He has gone as a forerunner before us, and now we can come boldly and enter. But we can't come boldly as in, hey, I'm okay, I'm great. Because it isn't about us, it's all about him. And we have to get to the point where we reflect his image, which is he's created us to be in his image and in his likeness, rather than it being anything we've earned or deserved or anything like that. Because it's not a reward. No, it's an identity. So our high priest, Jesus, prepares us as a sacrifice. Now, when it comes to then engaging where this takes place, it's a pattern of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle had veils between the different parts of it. And we know that those veils were called the way, truth, and the life. You know, that's why Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. They know very well what he was talking about when he said that, because it was the veils between the areas in the temple. So there's the outer court, and that heaven itself is patterned after the tabernacle. So the outer court represents the kingdom of God area in heaven, and this realm is where we become a servant and a steward and a friend. And then that brings us into the realm of intimacy with God, which opens up heaven to us. You know, we walk in his ways in this realm. And then once we've started to go into the realm of the kingdom of God, we learn to operate from the authority there. But you go in through the veil, which is the cross. So the first thing in the tabernacle was the brazen altar. Now, we don't have a continual sacrifice anymore every day. We've got one sacrifice that was made and is done for all time, which was on the cross. So to engage in the realms of heaven, you need to walk through the cross into resurrection life. And so that's the first thing. You have the laver, which basically was a bronze bowl, which was a mirror surface that had water in it that the priests washed themselves in. So, you know, that represents basically a surrender to the Word of God as our source of life and direction, and the mirror that reflects back who we are. You know, because when we look into the mirror of the Word, when I was talking earlier about looking into the mirror, what you see reflected back is the image that's presented in the Word. And when you look into that laver, you actually will see whether you're distorted or not in image, because it will show you whether you actually see yourself the way God sees you or whether you're seeing yourself in a distorted way. And so it's a really good indicator of what you see when you look into that laver. Anyway, I'm not going to go into all the tabernacle, there's loads of teaching all that stuff. But so essentially then you sort of enter through the veil, the way, the cross, into the outer court, into the realms of heaven. That's where all the mountains are, all the governmental systems that operate in lordship, all there. We learn to rule from those mountains. Then you go through that into the other thing, the veil, the truth, into the inner court. And there are lots of things in the inner court. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. That's where we start to operate in kingship, where we start to take charge of the courts in heaven, where we start to administrate in the court system. And ultimately, you pass through the veil of the life to the Holy of Holies, and that's where all the goody stuff goes on. So in that, you operate in sonship and kingship in the realm of heaven. So I'll make all this available on the slides then. But when you then engage in the Holy of Holies and you embrace the four faces of God and the Ark of the Presence of God, then you mature, and ultimately then you become free to stand and have access in the presence of God, and that can be in his actual presence, and you can stand in the assemblies of God, which are higher levels of authority. All this flows out of Zechariah 3:7. So the blood of Jesus is always on the mercy seat, so it always means we've got access. We don't have to bring any works. See, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is not a work. It's not a dead work. It's not any work. It's a surrender. You know, it's just, I surrender. And in surrender, do whatever you need to do today to remove whatever's in a hindrance to me fulfilling your will. Simple. That's what it really is. So some days, I mean, I present myself as a living sacrifice every day. It used to take me about 45 minutes because there was a whole load of stuff to deal with. And I need to learn the pathway. So I needed to realize, well, where am I? What is this veil? How do I get through it? When I go through it, where am I? So I would sort of look around and see, what's this realm? I'm in this area. Because I mean, I had so many experiences of God, I never knew where they were. So until I went back into each one of them and then asked and looked to see, well, where am I? What is this place? What is this realm? What function is in this realm? I just had experiences. Now I mapped it all out because I went back over it until it's a pathway that I can walk through. But it used to take me about 45 minutes to confess the scriptures and speak them. And yeah, I knew what I was doing because I wanted to know, okay, I want to be clear. What am I doing here so that actually I can do it in faith and in reality rather than just by a ritual? Because it isn't a ritual, it's a relationship. So in doing it, what I found was, some days I would just walk straight through that and straight into the Ark of the Presence and get my mandate. Other days, because I'm asking, is there anything you want to deal with today that hinders me fulfilling your purpose for me today? And sometimes there were nothing that he needed to do. Some days there were things in my thinking or things that were hindrances that he did need to deal with. Now, what I also do when I engage this now, and this is something God asked me to do about 6 months ago, so when I go into that place, because you have things like the table with the showbread and you have the candlestick with the lights on it, which represent the seven spirits of God. And, you know, there are things there that are representative of things that you engage in heaven. When I got to that point where, you know, there's the altar of incense, which is where we surrender to be a offering to God. So our life is a sweet smelling offering to God. And he loves the smell of our surrender because it's a fragrance to him. When we surrender, it's just a wonderful fragrance to him that just blesses him. So I was in that place of you know, surrendering. He said, well, I want you to step into the temple and place your heart on the altar. Yeah. So I was like, okay. So the first time I went in there, it was like, wow, I had such an engagement with the seraphim. They were like, I'd never seen anyone pierce me with their eyes. They were just looking right through me. And I'm like, what are they looking at? You know, it was like, you know, I had an old encounter with that. But I was placing my heart on the altar, and so that I could be unraveled, so my DNA could be unraveled and purified. So every day I do that, and there's a new section of DNA that gets unraveled and purified. So I thought, well, actually, that's really quite an easy thing to do. I just have to give my heart, and, you know, it wasn't so easy some of the times, because some of the times when it was unpurified, I got to see what was there. You know, so it was like, ooh. You know, but it's a process that, you know, is part of my daily lifestyle, and I'll keep doing it until God says me to do something else. I guess until all the DNA is purified. I also embrace that when I'm taking communion. I also embrace being on the dance floor with the DNA of God around me when I take communion. So there are various things you can do when you engage communion, so it's not just in this realm. I step into the realm of heaven to take communion. So it's like you can go and eat the bread of life in that realm, because it's there represented on the table in the tabernacle. And it's wonderful to do it on that side, because you do it from righteousness. So, you know, essentially I'm coming now to the mercy seat of God, the ark of the presence of God. We know that there were two cherubim there. We know one left its post. So I can come and make an intercessory connection. Now, my spirit needs to resonate and harmonize with the contents of the ark. This is the first stage of my personal journey on this. And I've gone to three stages of sort of increasing depth of understanding. First of all, I was just given revelation of what's in the ark and how to come into agreement with what's in the ark. And I would expect God to reveal his will, his word, his heart, and release his authority to me, because that's why I'm coming. What's your will? I'm surrendering as a living sacrifice because I want to do your will. I want to fulfill my destiny. I want to outwork your purpose and the mandate or authorization for today, just for today, because that's what I'm looking at today. So there's a sort of picture of the ark, representation of it, and you have the two cherubim. Well, now it's like there's only one. Think of it in those terms. So an ark is where two things come together that are close enough to actually have a spark jump between the two. So it creates an arc of power, electricity between the two wings. And so when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, he would begin to sing the name of God and speak the name of God. And that ark was made of pure gold. And the dimensions of the ark is a power source. And I think Nikola Tesla discovered that and created a huge coil of stuff which had an amazing power from that structure. Most people haven't got enough gold to make it, so they use copper. But it produces power and energy. So essentially we can come and take our place and make an ark. You know, and there's loads of arcs that get formed. I like biblical numerology and stuff. There are lots of twos. But even when we come to worship and we put our hands up, we're making a connection between heaven and earth for a manifestation of a portal that either comes this way or we go that way. So everything is about forming arcs of agreement. Where two agree, there's the presence of God. So in this, I'm coming, and then I come to engage with the ark. Now, when I first began to do this, it was all about what was in the ark, because that's what the revelation I had. So in the ark, there's a pot of manna, there are tablets of stone, and there's Aaron's rod. So those are the three things that were in the ark. And so when I first started to engage this, the revelation I got was, okay, the manna, bread of life, is the will of God. Now, get that, because John 4:32, he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. You know, John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So the food or the manna is the revelation of what he is calling me to do. His will for me today, which aligns with my destiny. John 6:27, do not work for food which perishes, but work for the food which endures to eternal life. So there is something that this brings me life. When I fulfill the word of God, it brings me total contentment and life. It's just, it feels like I am home. I'm in the place I should always have been, doing the things I was always destined to do, and I just love it. So I would come and I would like, okay, symbolically, I'm going to eat this manna because this is my food and this is going to bring me a revelation of his purpose today. So what am I authorized to do? And I want to resonate with that frequency so that I come into alignment with it. So I come in a minor key, I come to the major key, and then I come become aligned with the major key. So my choices are always the minor key. His choices are the major one. And when I surrender, my choices become his choices and I do his will. And so I learned to engage that there. So then the tablets, the word of God, his heart is now written on our hearts because it says the tablets are now written on our hearts. Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them and on their heart I will write it and I will be their God and they'll be my people. So now our hearts, if we open our hearts in this place, then he can write things there which will lead me in my day. So some of the resonating with his will was, I want to know what it is. So there was a cognitive understanding of what God was wanting me to do. So I'd ask, he may give me a scroll, he may give me direction, but I would know specifics for something. This was a, okay, if my heart is open, and you begin to either write things there which are your heart for me today, but are not necessarily specifics. So when I'm in my day and I'm walking through my day, that I recognize his heart. When I'm talking to people, I sometimes recognize things that he's doing, like his fingerprints on the situation that I can cooperate with. Because my heart looks and engages because he's written there. And also it's like, the destiny that I have is like unveiled so that everything aligns with his purpose for me. And as I began to do this more and more, I became so much more sensitive to things around me. And I recognized him in things. And I saw what he was doing and was able to cooperate with it, as well as being given direct instruction. And you can also bring things that you know you're doing to actually get his instruction in it. So there are lots of ways of doing it. So this is where you can see what the Father's doing. You know, you can begin to see what the Father's heart is for your life today. And then you can begin to engage in the name of God. And that was the next thing. So Aaron's rod is a symbol of authority and anointing. So not only are we given directions, not only we have his heart revealed in our heart, so the desires of our heart are aligned with his, we actually begin to get the authority and power to do it. So Matthew 6:10, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done, which is what we're looking to do when we're engaging this on earth as it is in heaven. Now that I've aligned myself with you, I have the power to bring it on earth. So this is when I can take that power, administer the government of that from my mountain, my throne, or wherever else he might send me or direct me at that point. So I'm really looking to surrender, find his will, have the authority and power to outwork his will so that I can bring that government from heaven to earth. So when I did this every day, and it was really successful in the sense that I heard God and God showed me different things and I got mandates for things, and you know, I'd do groups of people, meeting with groups, and I would take that group and ask him what was I authorized to do. Well, I learned how to do that. So initially, I did a few mistakes on that and got people into some trouble from taking them to places that I wasn't authorized to take them. But I learned really quickly I needed to know where I could take people and what group I could do with people. So I'd ask him. Now, generally, what we're looking for, we're coming for the presence of God. God manifests in the ark. Well, it isn't really like that little picture, because that little picture is sort of a stylized thing of, well, God just turns up, because what turns up is the four faces of God, because that is his governmental perspective: lion, ox, eagle, man, king, prophet, apostle, priest. And that's the order of Melchizedek and the functions of our government. So we have the morphing lion, ox, eagle, man. It's not, you can't, it doesn't like stay in one place, although it's represented by Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey and North, South, East, West. It actually is rotating in a sense, morphing it over. And if you sort of look at it, it's like, whoa, this is God's presence coming in that way. So that is really what, you know, when I engaged the next stage of this, I began to focus on his name. And I began to then see it as I am looking into his name and I'm looking into that Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And as I began to think about it, sing it, speak it, depending on what mood I was in, then he would manifest and his presence would manifest. So before, you see, I was really engaging in looking into his will and his purpose and engaging with his will and purpose. Now I'm looking to engage him and I'm looking to see things from his perspective. So when I'm looking at, okay, I'm looking at the perspective of the lion, then I'm going to start to see things from a kingly, governmental order perspective. And so I'm looking at it. If I'm engaging the ox, then I'm going to get the prophetic perspective, the apostle from the eagle, and that I'm going to get a overview perspective. So I'm looking in to see my day and my life and my circumstances from the perspective of his government. So I'm looking at, do I need to bring kingly order into my day? Do I need to bring prophetic direction? So when it comes to rule, this is what you rule with. You decree and declare kingly order. So if things are out of order, you speak them back into order. If you are coming from the perspective of the ox, I want to begin to call forth that which is God's purpose for me, and I begin to call things that be not as if they are. So I declare prophetically what I've seen in his will. The apostle, the eagle, I'm looking at the bigger picture because the eagle soars and can see things from a completely different perspective and sees the bigger picture and how things fit into the blueprint. And then you have the priestly function of the man, which brings agreement to all of it. So that's what I started to do. I started to look into that. So I would come, look into the ark, see what the Father is doing, look into the four faces of God, look into the name of God. Then I would begin to engage in Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and lion, ox, eagle, man, and kingly, prophetic, apostolic, priestly government. Now, ultimately, I'm supposed to reflect the four faces of God in fullness. So I'm supposed to be a royal priest and an apostolic and prophetic expression of that on the earth. So but I see it all there, so then I can bring what I see there to here. But if I don't see it there, then I can't bring it here, because it's on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a very real engagement. You know, this is something which is completely my lifestyle, and I do this every single day. Because even when I'm on holiday and things like that, I want to be in the will of God for whatever I'm doing. And he has blessing for me. So if I see him saying, hey, lie out in the sun all day and enjoy yourself, then I have authorized to do it, you know. And I get that level of authorization for everything. Hebrews. Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
When you said, when you see it's out of order, speak it back into order, can you explain that?
I'll explain it later in that when we actually get to do the stuff, that's what we do. We begin to look at what's out of order, because God will show us what isn't aligned with his will for me today, or my circumstances which aren't aligned for his will for me. Then I can actually speak and command it to come into order. So if there are obstacles in my way, I can command them, like speaking to the mountain, which is maybe an authority which is in opposition to mine, and command it to go, be moved, shifted. And it's like having that lion, or you roar. And I have roared in that place sometimes. I've literally roared. And the sound that's come out carries such a vibrational frequency that everything rocks. Because you speak with authority. Because this is what this brings, authority. you know that you are in identification with God's government and you speak with the government of God. So you speak with the prophetic word of out of the purposes of God. I'm not talking about prophesying nice things over people. I'm talking about seeing into your prophetic destiny and begin to call it into being. So you're looking, well, I'm going to bring that in a minute, but that's what you start to do. So Hebrews 10:7, I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. That was talking about what Jesus did when he presented himself for God. That's what I do every day. What is your scroll? What is my destiny? What is written of me today? Now, here I am. I want to do it. So I'm here to do your will today. And that's relating to my destiny. Now, as I said before, this isn't fate. And it isn't all mapped out as in, you know, put a pair of red socks on today, put a pair of jeans on, blah, blah, blah. It's actually about giving us God's will and purpose and then releasing us with authority to bring that into being creatively. Because we'll all do it differently according to how we're wired and how he's made us to be. It's not a set formula and a pattern that, you know, it's like, here's a set of instructions today. A, B, C, D, E. And if you follow these instructions, then at the end of the day, you'll have done everything. God wants us to embrace responsibility of sonship. So when he says, here is my will for you today, you are authorized to do this, he trusts us to go and outwork it. And we may outwork it 50 different ways. And that's all good, because at the end of the day, it's about outworking the result, not how you get the result. So long as we creatively let our spirit direct us, three people can have exactly the same mandate and they'll do it totally different ways and get completely the right result. Because we're doing it according to who we are and who our identity is and how we're wired up by God. Not in some formula or pattern that we all have to be cloned to do the same thing. Because we're not. We're created in the image of God with actually creative abilities and authority and power to begin to order things according to the desires of our heart, which are aligned with his heart, because I've already asked him to write his heart on mine. So it's very much about a relationship and knowing who I am. And again, you know, it says in Hebrews 10, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws on the right of the heart, and my mind I will write them. So God is revealing his will to us so that our lives can be aligned with it. And it feels really good when it is. You just know it's right. You know, there's this instinctive knowing that you're in the will of God, rather than wondering, well, am I doing the right thing? You know, is this the right place? Am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be doing this? You know, I don't think anything like that, because I don't need to, because I know what it is, because he tells me and he writes it there. So I have an understanding of it. So our scroll of destiny really gets revealed and unveiled to our hearts. So the desires of our heart can be aligned with it, and then we follow it, you know, because he gives us the desires of our heart. And if our desires align with his, then I'm guaranteed to get the result, you know. So I just need to open my heart and let him do it. So the desires of my heart get transformed according to what he reveals. The rod is a symbol of the scepter of authority when we begin to rule. So Psalm 45, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. So that symbol of authority, the scepter, gives us the authority to rule and to begin to bring those things to pass as we begin to govern them from there. So the whole Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey thing, which is really, really key, the name of God carries the revelation of who he is. That's the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And the Yod is as a symbol of a hand, denotes power, and figuratively ownership, it represents the Father. Hey represents gentleness and means to behold, to show or reveal, which representative of the Holy Spirit. Then you have Vav, which nails it all together, which is a nail or a peg or a hook, which conveys the meaning of being nailed or bound together. And then Hey, divine breath, revelation, light, represents the God's creative power, the Son, living Word of God, Jesus. So they represent who God is. And when we begin to engage and we that revelation begins to shape us and conform us to the image that God has created us to be made in his image like him. So we look into his manifest presence and the glory of God. We will see the will of God and the purpose of God for our lives. We resonate and align ourselves with his will. Then our hearts and our desires draw us towards his will and our destiny. And we don't have to cognitively think about it. Our spirit receives it, and then we let our spirit outwork it. We receive our mandate to rule. That is the authorization to do what he's called us to do today. I don't want to do anything without a mandate. If he doesn't want me to do it, why would I want to do it? If he does want me to do it, then I want to be authorized to do it and carry the authority to do it, which is what a mandate gives you. So then we can begin to frame our world from that mandate we receive. We begin to frame it. What I mean frame it is we speak it into existence by the words that we speak that come into alignment with the words we've received. So we have the authority to breathe out the breath of God. Because literally we've breathed in, and there's a rhythm to this. You breathe out yod, because that's already in you, and then you breathe in and breathe out and breathe in. And it's just the rhythm of life which is continually making us dependent on God, and then not just being receiving from God, but actually releasing from God to bring the transformation and change. Because what we receive in, we need to frame. You know, I've got lots of teaching on some of this in terms of the order of Melchizedek and going into it in more detail in terms of the priestly function and what you do. But literally, we become a representation of the four faces of God on the earth. So we're a representation of God's government. So we act as kings and priests, a royal priesthood, which is what we're called. And then we speak prophetically and administer apostolically. So that's when the four come together in completeness. And, you know, each of those has a function. I haven't got time today to go into each of the function, but I've got a teaching on each of them. So we then go to another level. So I had all this experience, spent probably 6 months or more learning to resonate with the ark and with the presence of God and engage that. And then, you know, he took me deeper into this with the name of God. And then there was another step. Now we can step into the manifest presence of God and the glory of God. So not only does he manifest and we look and we see, we can step into it because we're in him. So we then are in his name. So, I mean, it's a lot of, you know, teaching about in the name of Jesus. You know, it isn't just something we tack on the end of a prayer, hoping it might mean that it'll do it. You know? Which is what it is. It's a lucky charm for a lot of people. It's just, oh, well, in the name of Jesus, as if that's going to make all the difference. You know, it doesn't mean anything whatsoever if you're not in the name. Because being in the name is being in the identity and carry the power of attorney. So, literally, when I step into him, it is Yod, He, Shin, Vav, He. And the name of Jesus has the S, which represents us, because there was three little teeth things in the Hebrew letters, which actually is about soul, body, soul, and spirit. So, that was it. We are now in his name, and now we carry his authority and power, and we are now able to act in that authority because we're in him and we're carrying the power of that name. So in him, being omnipresent and eternal, we now have access into what was. So not only are we in him, and one of the things we do in this is we engage his heart in eternity. Now, I'm going to get it out of order. I'll talk in a sense that when you step into him, you can then look out from him. So when I was looking in and seeing, okay, I'm looking from the kingly perspective, I can start seeing things from the kingly perspective. Now when I'm in him, I can look out through his eyes. And I can speak out through his mouth. So I may need to roar like the lion, or snort like the ox, or soar like the eagle, you know, and do those things because I am in him and can look out and act out from being in him. Now that gives you so much more authority and power because you are in his name and carry his identity in who you are. And that's one aspect of it. But that's not the real main aspect that I really like. I like when I'm in him, it gives me access to his eternity, because in him I've got access to what everything started. You know, so I can step outside of time and space and into this heart in eternity. And because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, what I see there is not affected by sin. So I can begin to see myself how he made me to be. And that gives me the image to bring transformation, that I can become like him. So I'm in the womb of his creative thoughts, because that's where I was created. How vast the sum of the thoughts I have about you. And when I actually did this, and I first started to engage, I wanted to see what I was like, and I saw myself as a being of light. But I wasn't content with that, because I wanted to actually see, well, what's actually in the light? So I stepped into me in eternity, into the light, to see what it was like. And it was amazing. It was like all these, you know, those synapse things that go firing off. It was like all these lights flashing around, all these thoughts, all making up who I was. You know, it was amazing. I was like in it, like electrified. When I first went in there, I was just like, whoa, all these, and it was too much. And I couldn't stand there. You know, I sort of came out. It was like, whoa, this is too much. You know, and I was like, sorry, well, I'm going to look from the outside. But I've been back there again, because it's like it was such a buzz. It was just like, I've got to go back again. So I've been there, you know, loads of times. You know, so there's no sin there. So we can learn to see from the eternal perspective the beginning. You know, this whole thing of, you know, the seeing the end from the beginning, this is where you do it. Because when you see the beginning and who you were and how he created you to begin at the beginning, that any choice that you have to make will be in alignment with that. So you can see the end from the beginning, because the end is going to look like the beginning, because you want to be like that. So every choice you make is going to be, I'm going to make a choice to be like that, because that's who I am, and that will bring the fulfillment so that I can keep walking back in this way. And this is the place to go if you want to know who you are, because this is where you were created to be. You know, and it's an amazing place. And think, well, how do I get back there? You just step in, and by faith you engage. By desire. I desired to be in the heart of God in eternity. Now, I didn't go in this route the first time I went. Now, I was somewhere else doing an activation, actually online, taking people to the Firestones. And I was on the Firestones and I was in this thing. And all of a sudden, I was in this place I'd never been before. And it was, this is in the heart of God. Now I sort of like discovered that I didn't find how to get there, because I was just taken there. But I then found that this was something that God was saying, now you can go through this route. So now I can step back there every day. So, and, you know, and I do. You know, so we can see the end from the beginning. Now, that will always mean that we want the end to be as it was in the beginning. So there's this thing of, I go into what was, I bring that into what is, so I will be able to bring what will be to match what was. So that means every choice can actually be directed by that, you know. So that's, you know, that it isn't a circle, it is a symbol of covenant, figure of eight, an infinity symbol in that sense. That means when I embrace what is and look back into what was, I can then see what will be. And then I can bring what was into what is to begin to bring what will be into alignment, which is why I can speak it into being, which I can do the things of ruling and governing to bring that, because I have an authorization, because I've seen it. So I know that's God's purpose and will. You know, so if you ever know, well, what should I do? Well, go back and look. Because some of the things we ask what to do is because we don't know who we are. And when you know who you are, you instinctively know really what to do. Because we do because of who we are. We don't do to become what we are. You know, so we don't get our identity from anything. You know, so most of what we do in the religious things is we do things for. So we serve God for something rather than serving God from something. You know, and it's a totally different dynamic, you know, because I don't need to do anything for anything. It's who I already am. I just need to recognize it, you know, and this is a way of doing it. So this goes to a whole deeper level of engaging around the Ark of the Presence of God. And it is a beautiful thing. To be able to do that. So then we see ourselves from his eternal perspective, light beings constructed from the desires of his heart, framed in his thoughts and spoken into existence. That is how we were made. And that's how we can begin to make things. Because we then, being patterned after him, can see things from his perspective, can have the desires of our heart released to frame through our thoughts and our words. That's why we have authority in our mountain to frame our day in accordance with his will and purpose. So we feel our eternal identity. It's like knowing, you know, and you can become what we feel, what we see and feel. It's like it just causes us to desire that. You know, everything flows out of that. So then we can choose to act from this revelation to frame our lives every day. So when we see the end from the beginning, we can call things that be not as if they are, because we've already seen them. You know, so we then align ourselves with his will and his purpose and our destiny, and we can begin to decree and declare and prophesy what will, from what will, and all that stuff. So it's a great thing. So the first thing is we need to engage the ark. You know, once we engage the ark, you have this alignment between heaven, kingly and priestly. So a priest goes to look into, and a king then brings to order what he's seen, what the priest has seen. So you get this arc. So this arc between royal priesthood brings this authority. Then you have on the earth what we represent, apostolic and prophetic. We have that arc to release that, the government of God from the word of God. And I'm not talking about, you know, fivefold ministry, apostolic and prophetic and all that stuff. I'm talking about carrying that word of God from eternity. Then you have the government or authority to exercise that word and bring it into being on the earth, because you've already agreed with it in heaven. So you have this whole thing of a reflection of heaven on earth through us, so that we are that and we carry that fullness in our own lives. So I'm going to...
So back on that model that you were just using,
yeah.
Are you saying that you're taking the priestly, and from the priestly and the presence that goes... transfers into the kingly, gives it
over. Yeah.
That's in the heavenly realm. So yeah. Earthly, what is it, the apostle?
Yeah.
Apostle, it takes it into the prophetic?
Essentially, the whole four faces, it's like once you, the priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies and he was able to see, and ultimately to deal with sin, he took that sin back into eternity when there was no sin, and then brought the sinlessness of it back into his day to deal with the sin of the nation for a year. So he took the sin back into eternity where the lamb was already slain, and then brought that back into his day, which meant the whole next year they were coming from that day where sin was dealt with. So that was the priestly function. Now the priest obviously had the breastplate and the stones, and there was lots of other things that the priest was able to do in terms of bringing the truth, because they had the Urim and the Thummim, and that brought the truth and the light. And there was a lot of things. I haven't got time to go into the full thing of each one. But essentially, it was about looking back into to carry that into today and then order it. So the kingly function then was to begin to administer it from heaven. So once you had that ark that manifested that authority, then the reflection of that on the earth where we outwork it comes is we carry the word of God, that prophetic word from eternity. We now carry the full force of that prophetic word. So we have spoken it into existence. And then the apostolic represents the government of that word, gives us the authority to outwork it on the earth. So now, if you look at this, I'm talking about our personal lives here, but you can also see this in reflection to the church. That the foundation is the apostolic and the prophetic that releases that to be fulfilled on the earth as it releases people to fulfill their destiny. And we'll look at that when we look at it again. So let's go and engage in this, and we can actually step into heaven, and we can engage God there. Jesus will take us to the ark. We're not going to go through the whole living sacrifice process, because you can do that in your own life. We'll just surrender. But then we're going to engage all those things that we've just done. And from that, we'll take that authority and go and engage some other things. So once you've recognized who you are, and you have, like Aaron's rod, to govern, then you have to go to your mountain to do it. So it would be really good to go to our mountains and get invested with authority to do these things, because there's no point having all this stuff if you don't know what to do with it. And you haven't got the authority to actually go to the mountain, because that's where you administer. So again, what we'll do is, you know, there are some images there, which, you know, if you're getting stuck, you can look at. But essentially, there's a ladder going from here to heaven. You know, we call it Jacob's ladder. It goes from here to heaven, and we can step up and go into the realm of heaven because he's invited us to come. If that makes sense. So I think, let me just look some of these images. So, since you can see yourself walking up there, once you get there, we know Jesus is standing in the doorway. Once he takes us to the ark, we can begin to manifest around that. Then we can engage in some scrolls, and then we can go and engage a mountain, and then we can go and get invested on the throne on the mountain with some things. So there's some images if you need something to prompt your imagination to engage. But the first thing is, I encourage you again just to relax and, you know, begin to think about the fact that there is an invitation to come up here. Revelation 4:1, God says, come up here. There's a door standing open in heaven. So let's come. So you can, by faith, just engage. See that steps, see the ladder that's going from here up into the realm of heaven. There is a door standing open in heaven. There is the invitation. So just hear God giving you that invitation to come up here. So as you just picture yourself walking up those steps, you're walking up through the veil, through the door. Now just step through that veil into the kingdom realm. Jesus is standing in the doorway to meet you. Now just choose to present yourself to him as a living sacrifice. Just surrender. Just to surrender to his will and his purpose. And as you're standing there with him, just begin to feel the atmosphere of heaven. Just let all your senses be heightened so that you can sense, feel, see, perceive what it is just to be standing in the wonderful freedom of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven. Just breathe it in. Just sense what it is to breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Open up your heart. So as you're just standing there in his presence, in the glory atmosphere, just start to set your focus on following him through what he's opened up for us through the veil, to come boldly into his presence, to enter that holy place. So I just ask Jesus that you will take each person by the hand, and you'll just take them through the veil of the truth and through that realm and through the veil of the life to just stand before the presence in the ark of God. And as you just stand before the ark of God's presence, just turn your desire towards his will. Just symbolically take that manna, the food that reveals the vibrational frequency of his will that you can resonate with, that your whole spirit can vibrate with that frequency and align yourself with God's will and purpose. Now just be open for anything he might show you at this point. You might feel sense, you might feel given a scroll, you might feel authorized, but just be open to come into agreement with that as you just take that food. And just choose to open up your heart and just allow him to write on the tablets of your heart his desires, to unveil revelation of your destiny. Just let him write on that, on your heart. Now we're just going to start to go deeper into this. So just begin to start to look into his presence. Start to think of his name. As his four faces just begin to manifest between the wings of the cherubim and you standing there, just allow your spirit to be drawn to one of the faces, whether the lion or the ox or the eagle and the man, and just begin to engage with that perspective, the revelation that's released, that will be imparted to you as you just look and see. You may soar on the wings of eagles. Prophetic revelation may just be imparted to you. Just engage. Now just take another step, and as you're looking into him, just choose to step into him. Just step into his name. And as you step into that place, then you begin to see from one of those faces. You look out into your circle of life, that you begin to look at it from the perspective of the four faces of God. You can begin to speak out of that perspective. You may prophesy, you may decree, you may declare. Just be really open, just let your spirit free. In any of these exercises, feel free to be led by your spirit and God. He may want to take you somewhere, show you something completely different from where we are right now. Just go with that. Don't be limited. If you feel you want to stay in any one place without moving on, really feel free. You just need to be led by your spirit. Now, if you feel drawn to step out of time and space and to engage his heart in eternity, just set the desires of your heart towards it. He will draw you back into that place of intimacy. Where you're cocooned within his heart, where you can see yourself as a being of light, where you can feel and hear his thoughts about you, where you can feel who you were always meant to be. You can begin to engage in what was, seeing yourself from that eternal perspective. You can bring a specific situation for direction, for wisdom, into where there is no sin, where you can see the end from the beginning. Maybe you have a decision to make. Where there are choices, just look at them from the beginning. So you can see the end. As you've engaged in what was, you can bring what was back into what is. So you stand again before the presence of God in the ark. So we can now go and administer what was into what is. So just begin to set your thoughts on your mountain, that place where you can begin to administer the kingdom. Now, Jesus, I just want to ask you now again to take each person by the hand and lead them through the veils into the realm of the kingdom of God, and just take each person to their personal mountain, their position of governmental authority in the realms of your kingdom, and just allow him to bring you before your mountain and just observe. You may feel, you may see, you may get an impression, but there on your mountain is a throne, and behind the throne standing who's been waiting for you to come is your angel assigned in heaven, who's been caretaking this throne. Just engage that angel. He's going to be your point of reference. He will help you in areas of government. Now, Jesus is with you. Just take your place and be seated on that throne. Just sense that this is who you are in lordship, in the realm of the kingdom. This is your position of government. So as you're seated on the throne, Jesus comes before you and he places the crown of authority on your head. Just feel that authority, feel that crown. You may sense what it's looked like, whether it's got stones. Just be open to receive that crown. But he places a mantle of authority upon you. You may sense what color it is. It carries with it power. Just feel that as you're placed on your shoulders. And then receive the scepter into your right hand. That scepter, that rod of authority that gives you the authority to administer everything that you received. Looking into the ark, resonating, receiving authority and a mandate in what was. Now you're seated in heavenly places, enthroned and invested with authority as a royal priest in kingdom authority. He may also give you some other things. Just be open to receive whatever he wants to give you. Now just start to feel your identity in lordship, to administer the kingdom. If you've been before and you're familiar with your throne, then just do what you do. Just release whatever you need to release from that place. You can just carry on. Those who've not been before, just start to look. You may look down and see the seven realms, other mountains below, which are your spheres of government. Be open to receive revelation about them. Now you're in a place of rest. You rule. If there's chaos in your life, you now have a position of authority over it. So all that you received, now begin to release. Let your spirit lead. Don't try and figure it out. Just begin to decree and declare the thoughts of your mind as you begin to rule. You may want to call forth change and transformation in your life. Call forth the blessing and favor of God and the provision of God to fulfill your mandates and your destiny. You can start to frame your life by decreeing that which you've received, speaking it out, calling for alignment. If there are storms raging, you can still the storm. You have the keys of the kingdom. You can unlock situations. You can take authority to change situations around you. Just to call forth what was in this place of what is, to bring change and transformation for what will be. Just to call forth your destiny. You can call for doors to be open and doors to be closed. You can call for alignment. Just let your spirit lead you. You may want to call angels. On assignment. So every day you can go before the presence of God, because you now have a testimony of engagement, and just practice presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, engaging the presence, finding His will, administering that will. Okay. Now, you're unlikely to get all this in one go, okay? This is just an introduction. You know, I could spend hours back in eternity in His heart. You know, we just spent a few minutes. You may have got something there. You may think, oh, well, I'm not really sure. You know, it's just a practice. As you make this a lifestyle, it will all begin to unveil and open up. You know, and all the other things, and other things you can do, and the other courts you can go to, and all that will start to be unveiled as you begin to take this place of authority. And if you've got any problems, talk to the angel and get some wisdom from there, because that's what he's there to do, to help.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit us on our website, freedomtrust.org.uk, where you'll find a whole range of resources. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And on our Sons of Issachar blog. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and lead others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? If so, check out our Engaging God program. Join a worldwide community of pioneers. Learn how to access God in the realms of heaven and take up your responsibility as a son in His kingdom. Freedom Apostolic Resources. We're here to help you find and fulfill your destiny.